Sorry, took me a while to find the switch. Okay, with that then, we'll go ahead and have the report out of closed session. District Legal Counsel Michael Seitz, please.
Yes, at approximately 6 p.m. tonight, the board did go into closed session pursuant to two separate government code sections. First, under Government Code Section 54954.5, personnel matters, they considered the public employment of the district interim general manager. And under Government Code Section 54956.8, they had a conference with their real property negotiator, Peter Campa, and gave direction but took no reportable action. And on the first item, they took no reportable action.
Thank you. Oops. Thank you, Michael. So with that, we will move to number 8, which is public comment for items that are not on the agenda this evening. Do we have anybody that would like to speak to those items? Julie?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and oh, that's a hot mic. What your legal counsel didn't report on was the closed session of April 7th. And you might recall at the end of the meeting here, you adjourned back to closed session, but you took it over to the district office. And you were discussing the district legal counsel. And the report out says that the general manager was to immediately prepare and circulate a request for qualification / request for proposal for general counsel services. So I want to segue into a little something that's still bothering me with regard to the current legal counsel. And a couple of months ago, I told you about a public records request your district got from an attorney in Sacramento looking for all my public records requests. Your legal counsel spent an inordinate amount of time and money, your money, my money, filling that request. And curious, I wanted to know what she was given. So I did a public request for her, for the response for her, to her request. And what I discovered was that not only did Mr. Seitz go through and redact things that had already been redacted and further redact unnecessarily, I might add, but he mailed the documents, I believe, to have been put on CD to her in Sacramento at no charge. When I wanted documents, I had to drive to San Luis Obispo and pick them up from his office and pay for them at 10 cents a page. This district has a policy on how it handles public records requests, and simply that wasn't followed because it only applied to me. And it's just one more thing. It's one more thing that's why you need this request for proposals for new representation in legal counsel. My heartburn tonight is that I've learned from reading the general manager's report that the request for proposal did not go out immediately at all. It only went out yesterday or today. And that's too bad, because Mr. Seitz is still here, and apparently he's still in the running for the job.
Thank you, Julie. Any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Richard?
On a much lighter note, before we get into the issues of the evening, and I'm going to may need Chuck's help on this, August 13th? Is it the 13th? Or the 14th. Anyway, well, there'll be more announcements. Saturday? Okay. August 13th, the 30th anniversary celebration for the community center will be held here. Open to the public, free event. There'll be food, entertainment, some history of how the center got here. People are putting photographs together to show kind of the initial stages, and there'll be representation from the various groups that got the building started and perpetuated it over time. The other thing I want to mention is the board has decided, with some guinea pigs that have volunteered, we are going to have a balloon toss at various members of the public. It's going to be a dollar for a warm balloon, just tap water balloon, or $2 for a cold water balloon. The two volunteers that have stepped up so far, and we're hoping that maybe a couple board members will volunteer, are myself and Chuck. And there's already a list developing for both of us. So save your money. The proceeds are going to help the community center with some of the projects that still need to be completed. But mark the calendar, August 13th, if you want to take your frustrations out on either of us. $2 a warm balloon, $3, or $1 a warm balloon, $2 a cold balloon. Chuck, do you have something to
add? One clarification, the cold water can't be below 32 degrees
absolutely.
Centigrade.
Thank you. Any other any other public comment? Lindy? Oh, Al and Lindy. Here, Al. All right, let's not fight her.
This is public comment, right?
On items not on the agenda, yes.
Okay. Lindy Owen from Los Osos, and I wanted to invite everybody to a homeowners lateral information forum that we're putting together. There's a number, we've probably got about 300 houses hooked up now, and there are a number of problems coming up, and all the way from deposits being made and the contractor not fulfilling, bad materials being used, some of the inspections are not very thorough, and all the way to the pumpers dumping it sometimes in the street. That probably the most important thing is to remind people that they can repurpose their septic tanks, because the county promised 3 weeks ago to send a postcard and to update all the contractors that was definitely a plus to clean the tanks and fill them and then cap them for later potential. And that card has not gone out to anyone yet. So as people are filling in their tanks and losing them forever, this forum will be a way for people to understand what those options in the future are going to be. We're also looking at working with Golden State and hopefully the CSD on when we get to phase two to fill these tanks with upper aquifer water rather than drinking supply. If you want to take 5,000 tanks or 4,000 that get reconditioned, multiply it times 1,000 gallons more or less per tank, we can save an awful lot of drinking supply that shouldn't be put into a septic tank for storage. So that's another option that we're working with Golden State, and they seem to be very open to the idea of opening up the access to their upper aquifer well down by the Sea Pines. So hopefully people will come. This is a chance. This is non-political. This is just simply a way to educate people as to what a lateral is, what materials should be used, what's code, how to pick a contractor, and then how to get some respite or some, if the job is done poorly, where to go next. And so we hope everybody will come. So thank you.
Al, do we have anybody after Al? So Al will be our last speaker.
I get the last word?
Yep, you do, Al.
Do you know how you know lawyers are lying? Their lips are moving. Anyway, my name is Al Barrow, and I just got my rent raise $200 a month, but there was no income raise, so I'm just a little short, and I'm sure everybody in the Prohibition Zone that's a renter is feeling that pinch now. So I just wanted to make that statement that we are in a pinch because of the increased cost of the sewer and cost of living, too. So medical is getting out of reach, and as you can see, I'm missing a tooth here, and the dentist wants $4,400 to fix that bridge. So there's a lot of pressure on us, and I was just outside talking very briefly to Richard Margeson, and he said the lines are getting longer at the food giveaway, the food bank. So there's a lot of pressure in the community to make ends meet right now, and you have to make some sacrifices. So I thought that would be something that you might want to remember when you make decisions about how much more we have to pay for things. And also, I have some pins here for Bernie Sanders. He's promised to make life a little bit more affordable for us if he gets into the convention this year. And so I'm supporting him. I have his yard sign, like many others. And I think we need to try to support our politicians and encourage them to make policies that make our lives less miserable and more bearable and, you know, more livable. So if you get a chance to support his agenda, look at his website. You see that he wants to make it a little easier to go to college in public colleges, and he wants to have more health care for people, things like that, and a minimum wage of $15 an hour. Those kinds of things are welcome in our county. The average housing costs for about $500,000 for a single-family home, and the average income is about $10 or $11 an hour. So we do have a real inequality situation in this county.
Oh, thank you, Al. Okay, with that, then we'll close public comment on items not on the agenda, and we'll move to the administrative and committee reports. First one is number 9A, the fire department report.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. Tom McEwen, battalion chief for North Coast Battalion, and I'm reporting to you on the incidents and the occurrences in March of 2016 of this year. In March of 2016, Station 15 responded to 105 calls, which is getting to be about our average now of about 100 a month. We had 11 back-to-back calls, 74 medical aids, and of those 74, 35 of them required advanced life support from the medics. We had 2 traffic collisions, 2 fires, and 24 assists. And Company 15 was called in to cover the station 8 times in the month of March. In the month of March, we had some issues with Medic Rescue 15 being out of service for a while, and those are getting resolved right now. The county has provided us with Medic Engine 212 to cover the gap, so we've been running that for about a month now. All of our automatic external defibrillators have gone through their service, and the good news is they all passed their inspections and not going to require any repairs at this time. We've lost one more of our firefighters, Dylan Campbell. We've given him a 4-month leave of absence for him to take his testing with the LA County Fire, but he's like number 2 on the list, so we're pretty sure he's going to get a job, and so we'll probably be losing him, which is too bad because he's one of our really dedicated folks that shows up all the time and really helps us cover. So we're still having that same problem of the revolving door. So as far as things are going, special programs and projects, we're working on replacing the flooring and the carpeting in the station. That project is going well, and hopefully we'll have something going on that within the next month. We should have the work started. The other thing we did that was kind of fun this year is we had a local 4-year-old boy who wanted to celebrate his birthday at the fire station, so he was able to come with his family and celebrate his birthday at the fire station. And you can see attached the letter we got back from the family. They're pretty appreciative of that. And that's some of the things the guys at the station enjoy being able to do as that is a community service. We've got a lot of good training going on in the last couple of months. We're still moving our 4 prospective folks forward. It's kind of a slow process right now. We may be held up because there won't be another PCF Academy till fall, so we're trying to decide what's the most economical way to manage those folks. We may have to wait till the fall to pick them up instead of having to pay them to do individual training. We had the opportunity to take Engine 215 and some of our personnel to the control burn that was done by the California Conference of Arson Investigators over at Camp Slow, where we had the opportunity to burn down four of their temporary mess halls that were built for World War II. And interesting buildings. They were built for World War II. They were built in a period of 4 weeks. They were designed to last 5 years, and they were still completely, perfectly serviceable buildings. We just finally had to get rid of them. And great buildings, amazing, amazing construction they did back down on those temporary buildings. But we got a lot of good training out of it. Our folks got the opportunity to do some interior attacks and get some really live fire experience that they don't often see nowadays. So other than that, with training, Captain Colwell taught his surf rescue boat class again, and he'll be teaching that again next month. And a couple of the things that have gone on, Engineer Garcia was able to teach some more of the high-performance CPR to the community. We had about 40 students there. And that's about it. We've just kind of moving along. So now it's up to you guys. What do you want to know?
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to the utility report.
Mr. President, members of the board, I am here to give the utilities report for last month, and went over the information with Margaret in the last couple days and really got to know just exactly what she thought would be best for the board and public to know about. And again, the main thing is that we continue to see a decrease in production. Production is the amount of water that the wells produce, and then when I talk about consumption, that's the amount of billed water that our customers use. But the production was down by 24% from last year. So that's good. We're pulling less water out of the aquifer at 12.6 million gallons during the period. Using the state's formula of calculating the per capita water use, we are at 54.2 gallons per person per day. That's very, very low. As you know, we bill 57% of the service area, and we actually had our customers consume 12.8 million gallons during the period of February 10th through April 12th. And the revenue is $151,554. That's significant because the decrease in consumption resulted in a decrease in revenue. And so we saw an increase in revenue from last year, but that's just because of the rate increase. So the increase in revenue from last year was only 6%. In reality, we had planned on it being 12% total revenue change. So we continue to see that trend, and it's good news, bad news, really. Using less water, selling less water costs us our in revenue. So also a couple other items in the report that are of significance. Customers continue to reduce their consumption because they are connecting to the sewer system, so we're going to continue to see that trend, and we can expect that. As you know, the district has limited drainage service. We've got state permits to comply with. Those state permits are to meet state and federal water quality standards, and we have been doing an excellent job in compliance with those. And as we end the major rainy season, we were really lucky this year, even though we saw a little bit more rain in March, but everything has been working well, and we're reporting to the state and having no problems with violations or anything else. The main thing that's of excitement is both the Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro subdivisions are now connected to the wastewater system and are no longer discharging into the septic tanks that we own and operate. And so those septic tanks will be decommissioned after a period of time. And also the transition and operation from the district to the county will occur over a period of time. And so that took a lot of coordination with the county and with the county's contractor and with Mike to go over the operating agreement. Last month I reported that the county's contractor was going to take control of our system for a couple days. That's always a concern because you've got to be very careful that someone doesn't that someone has a plan to get it done once they started, and the county did a good job and their contractor did a good job of getting it all done. So that's pretty much it from a summary point on Margaret's report, and I'll entertain any questions.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the interim general manager's report.
One of the things that I thought was significant from public comment was the opportunity to step back and take a look at the district. And I think that that has been a big part of what my efforts have been that I haven't really been able to define in writing. In reality, a manager can come in and jump into the same problems, the same issues that were going on before. And that's the easy thing to do, is just jump in and try to jump in where somebody else left off and continue things the way that they were. And in reality, it's taken some time and some effort to step back and take a look at the district and see possibly why we've been through 15 managers and why things have occurred the way that they have. And I think I've got a pretty good handle on some direction going forward, so I hope we get to have that conversation continuing. The office relocation is not a whole lot to talk about. We did talk about that in closed session, but I continue to report on the status of what we're doing. The legal RFQ did go out. Sorry it took so long. It's a very it's a process that takes most districts 3 to 5 months. There's not a district that I found that has done it in less than 2 months, unless you've pretty much got an idea where you want to go. So I read 15 different projects, 15 different RFQs, RFPs that went out, and put together the best of the best, I thought, and so we should get some good candidates. The audit, I know that I have duplicate bullets in here, I realized, and that's probably part of the typo discussion that went on. I certainly apologize for that. There are hundreds of pieces of communication that go back and forth between us and the office and the CPAs in trying to understand and get through the items that are related to the audit. We have a good handle on it. So long as there are no major hiccups, we intend to have it on the board's agenda in June. Okay, so it's a little less than a month from now. And that is the absolute plan. And you're talking about 3 years worth of work being done in less than a couple of months. So I hope you understand the depth of that amount of work. But we're getting there. And part of what that's causing us to do is that we're being delayed on giving you budget to actual reports. Everybody in every department has slowed their spending to a stop, pretty much, and until we regroup and are able to really get a look at where we are accurately. And I believe that by next month we will be in that condition. And we're already working on budget-related issues. But again, we're limping along because the numbers weren't quite right. We're, like I said, we're almost there. So there were some other things that I reported out in last month's report related to IRS and EDD. Those we're pretty much through those, and those are negotiable items when it comes to getting those reversed. I'm sorry that those exist, but we've also implemented a procedure internally. It already existed before, which was to make sure that the manager is made aware of any communications that come into the district that might say notice of fee, levy, violation, fine, problem, anything. But I wanted to reiterate to everyone that that's really important for us to know about in multiple locations so that it can get resolved and nobody can just take a notice and run with it. So I think we're in really good shape there going forward. And I don't need to get into every bit of this just so that we can get through, but I'll entertain any ongoing burning questions that you have related to the report. We're going to be dealing with a lot of this in the action items of the agenda today.
Questions? John Eric?
Yeah, just two quick questions. I want to make sure we're still on time for the Tuesday, May 10th report to the state controller. That looks like a pretty
good.
And that will avoid then them coming and doing their own audit.
Absolutely, yeah.
And in your opening remarks, not on opening with the utilities, but opening with the interim general manager report, you said you had developed some insights about our district. Is there anything you can share with us now? You piqued my curiosity.
I had intended to go into detail with them on the 14th, but unfortunately we're not able to proceed with that meeting. That was where we kind of peel back all this stuff. But in reality, it is lack of planning and lack of clarity. It's the lack of clarity with the expectations of management. I do a lot of instructing on board manager relations and the things that are necessary in order to make sure, because you are elected by the people to establish policy, and you've got to be able to hand that baton off and make it really clear to a manager what the expectations are. And it's not the day-to-day, you know, blow your nose, do this, get this done. It's really a high level of expectation of initiatives that we want to carry forward. And I don't know that any manager has really been able to get their feet on the ground, and I don't know whether it was lack of direction or lack of ability to carry it out, but there are a lot of things to do. You need a lot of effort, and the district has been the major thing, John Eric, is that in the past there were two supervisory employees in the middle of the district that basically made sure that things got done. And following the bankruptcy and some other things, those positions were never reinstated. So it left a hole in the mid-management. There is no mid-management. It's the manager, and then it's the employees. So there's not, except for the field crew, the administrative side of the office is unsupervised, except for a manager. And a manager can't supervise everything. So that's where we are.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move to the legal counsel report.
I really have nothing to report tonight, but you heard some public comment. If you have any questions about what I've been doing, you can certainly ask them.
Any questions? Okay. Seeing none, Vicki Locac, please.
First, I would like to talk to you about the LOCAC election. We're not actually having an election since we only had one candidate per opening. In spite of rather rigorous outreach on our parts. So, for District 1, Lynette Tornowski has been elected to a two-year term to fill out one that was started by someone else who's now in District 3. Carolyn Atkinson is also representing District 1 for a four-year term. Christine Womack, District 2, for a four-year term. District 3, Julia Oberhoff, for a four-year term. And I am doing District 4 for a four-year term. At our last meeting, we had a couple of, some interesting things happen. One that went fairly smoothly was a minor use permit for Mr. and I assume Mrs. Waterworth. It's to construct a new single-family home at 370 Mitchell Drive and demolish an existing residence at 378 Mitchell Drive. And the plans look good to us, so we recommended this approval for this project. We had a vacation rental minor use permit proposed, and the site location is 2765 Crockett Circle. We had a great deal of comment from the neighbors, all negative, and the neighbors named a number of concerns that they have. The owners live in North Dakota, somewhere in the mid Oklahoma, North Dakota, somewhere in that middle section. Yeah, somewhere in there. It's, yeah. Anyway, they live far away. They did not have a representative here. They currently have no intention of getting a property manager, which is something that LOCAC really feels quite strongly is a necessary thing when there are absentee landlords. Since then, we've heard from the planner involved. This project was supposed to be heard by the Planning Commission next week. It has been postponed now until July 14th, and I haven't talked to the planner to find out what, one of the things is the deluge of comments that have come in from neighbors and others. What we're just hoping is that the folks involved in this actually get someone to represent them. And they're also, according to their neighbors, and there is a letter from the applicants that states that their reason for wanting a vacation rental permit is because they think it will protect them from having other vacation rentals on either side of their house, which is not accurate. We don't know where, you know, who told them that, and it is not accurate. So, there we are. We have two upcoming committee meetings next week. Traffic and Circulation is on Tuesday, May 10th at 5:30 p.m. in the small conference room here in this building. And Land Use is on Thursday, May 12th at 6:30 p.m. here in the small conference room. Questions?
Any questions? Okay, thank you. I didn't see you, Steve. You're hiding on me today.
Me hiding? Good evening. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Just a couple of announcements tonight. First, the chamber mixer, our next chamber mixer, will be Wednesday, May 11th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at 356 Mitchell Drive. And it's going to be hosted by three different groups, Celebrate Los Osos, the Green Cottage on Morro Bay, which is a vacation home, and Pandora Contemporary Ceramic Art. We'll have light appetizers, wine, beverages, a small display of ceramic art, preview of the vacation rental, and information about Celebrate Los Osos and the current and future projects. For more information, contact the chamber. Our next big event coming up is the Los Osos Festival of Flavor. It's the old food showcase that we did for a number of years. It's going to be held on Friday, June 24, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Right here at the South Bay Community Center. And so far, we have a lot of restaurants, local restaurants lined up: Nardoni's, Kuma Sushi, Sylvester's Burgers, Sweet Alexis Bakery, Baywood Ale House, Beach Hut Deli. Boy, I'm getting hungry just reading all these. La Palapa, Nichols Pizza and Grill. Tickets are $20 and they are limited, so call the chamber office for more information if you would like to participate. That's all I have.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions? Nope, seeing none. ESAC committee report. Or Emergency Services Advisory Committee, if you prefer.
Yes. You can see in your packet, we finally have minutes from the last committee meeting. And I'd like to thank Ann and Harmony for working together, whoever made this happen. One thing I'd like to point out, you'll notice in the minutes from that committee, is that there's a little bit of discussion about what people talk about, rather than just so-and-so spoke. And I like that. I think the benefit of that is that it kind of reminds you of just what the concerns that were expressed by the public are. And so I would like to encourage, and you'll notice that there's a difference between those minutes and some of the others that get taken. I think that should be a direction that all minutes go. Anyway, in terms of what was talked about at the meeting, we talked a lot about the increase in minimum wage, what that's going to do to our reserve program budget. We're expecting Schedule A increase this year. In the end, we spent a lot of time talking about whether a special fire tax was needed, just how we're going to meet the need for additional revenues. Of course, a special fire tax right now is the last thing that we really want to talk about because of all the other commitments that are being asked for from our community. So this is just going to be part of the ongoing budget discussions that we have over the next 2 months regarding water, fire. How do we allocate resources, particularly the $180,000 in property tax that go to the water department? We've talked a long time about how to rectify that situation. In terms of specific action items, you'll notice numbers 5 and 6 in the minutes that talk about direction of the recently designated fire mitigation fund, the monies that we had left over from the solid waste budget, and we moved that to a fire mitigation fund. Well, we needed to come up with some recommendations for how to designate those funds, what we use, and so the committee recommended that the board designate the mitigation funds for community health and fire safety education programs and fuel management and maintenance, taking care of the fire breaks around the community. I'm not sure how we accomplish that. Do I need a vote here from the board to approve those two priorities that the committee set? Is that how we would do that, or can I just...
No. I think we'll have to agendize that at a future meeting.
Okay, well, then we need to agendize 5 and 6 because we also talked about the changes that we'd like to make in the hazard abatement requirements. Currently, if we have a delinquent homeowner in terms of hazard abatement, clearing the weeds on their property, you give them notices. If they're still recalcitrant, you have to take them to court. That's very burdensome, and the courts don't really want to deal with that kind of thing. Some other communities have the option of sending a contractor out to do the work, and then you take that, and if the homeowner doesn't want to pay the bill, you attach it to their property taxes as a lien. That's the other option we have. I think it makes perfect sense, given the fact that the legal option going through courts really is not anything that ever is accomplished. So we'll be bringing that language, I guess, back for legal counsel's review and then have that agendized in a future meeting. And that concludes my report. Any questions?
Any questions? Seeing none. Okay. We'll move to the Joint Financial Advisory Committee and Utility Advisory Committee meeting. We do have this item on our agenda for direction from staff as 12, direction from the board as 12C. So what we're looking at right now is the water shortage, emergency water rates, and what level we want to be at as far as the water shortage emergency. Right now we're at a level 3, so there was some discussion whether or not we should move to a level 4 or not. There was a lot of very, very good discussion and a lot of direction, good direction from both committee members to the board, and Chuck and I were in attendance as the two committee chairs. I'd like to bring this discussion up more when we get to 12C because I think I'm taking it out of context if I talk the substantive things right now. So when we get to that item, I'll go into more detail as to what we discussed. But the goal here is we got some direction from the committee. We're going to get some direction from the board this evening, and then we'll be taking these back to the committees separately and then bring this back to the board, hopefully at this time, probably in July or August for some final action. But it was a good meeting, and I thought it was a lot of good direction. Chuck, do you want to add anything at this point or when we get to that substantive discussion? Okay. All right. Any questions on that? Okay. Basin Management Committee report. That would be me again. We had our monthly meeting of the Basin Management Committee. The primary issue that we talked about, well, there was actually two issues that we talked about. One was just the discussion of what sort of rebate programs could be put into place in order to encourage water conservation, but also
to reward people for the water conservation efforts that they're already taking. So we went through a series of different possible rebate programs, ranging from the ones that you're already aware of, like cash for grass, up to replacement of the toilets, replacement of your washing machines, using cisterns. I mean, there was a whole myriad of items that we discussed. We're going to be looking at that this month at our meeting as far as trying to come up with some priorities for that, and just trying to implement some of these programs. I think the one interesting thing that came up was that there seems to be some acceptance by the county, or I don't know how to put it, but some cooperation from the county that we may be able to use the rebate funds that are available for some of these additional rebate measures instead of just using them for the toilets and the washers. So that's something that Rob Miller, who's our executive director, is pursuing that. He'll be reporting back next month to us. The other discussion we had that was I thought was really, really good was about the repurposing of the existing septic tanks. And it seems that there has to be a good education program going out to the public here about the repurposing. There's a number of components to this repurposing, and I think part of what we talked about is not only requiring educational program for the public, but we need to make sure the contractors understand this as they go out and talk to the people and doing connecting them to the sewer with their lateral. I think the primary thing was right in the short term, everybody, primarily almost everybody, I mean, there's some houses because of the configuration of their lot and the location of the septic tank can't do this, but almost everybody can right now go ahead and do a clean and seal program on their septic tank as they connect to their lateral, which basically means you pump out your existing septic tank and then clean it and sanitize it and then seal it. And then you'll have an opportunity sometime in the future to be able to repurpose it for additional purposes, either as a rain catchment or maybe as a gray water catchment or gray water facility or whatever. So that's one of the things that was our primary concern, or I guess our primary discussion was how can we help to educate the public on making sure that they're aware of the fact. And like I said, I think the sentiment was fairly clear, unless there's some reason that you can't do it, that clean and seal is the way to go right here in the short term. So I think that was the substantive discussions. We're going to, at our next month's meeting, like I said, we're going to talk about the rebates, and we're also continue on some thoughts about how we can go ahead and get the word out here for the repurposing. Chuck, do you have anything to add to that?
That next meeting is Wednesday, May 18th, 1:30 here.
You're good on these dates today. I have to hand it to you. Second time you came up. Okay, yes. Yeah, it's the third Wednesday of the month here at 1:30. Okay, so with that then...
I've got a report.
Lou?
Okay, as I usually do, I attended the Water Resources Advisory Committee. Most of the meeting was focused on the emerging state programs that water programs across the entire county, and the room was filled with representatives of about 30 or 40 of those entities. And it was sort of how we're going to do this, how we're going to roll this out. The good part of the discussion was that we are way ahead of other entities in the county to having our system together, defining our problems, which are significant. That was also brought out, that we are a high-priority need kind of organization for water issues. To accelerate this and make it a little bit more rational and effective, what has happened is that an ad hoc committee has been put together. I'm a member, as are three people from water districts, as well as people from the county. We're going to go off and meet by ourselves and try to figure out how we can do this faster, more effectively, and bring it back. So, looking forward to that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of Lou? Any other outside committee reports? I just want to make a sort of just an agenda report now, for lack of a better term. When we get to item 12, which are the general action items, I'm going to move item C to the top of that item, so we'll take item C first. So if anybody's watching on TV that wants to get down here for that item, now's the time to do it. So we'll take A and B after C as far as 12, because C is the item that talks about the water shortage and the water rates, and I think that will be a more substantive discussion than the other two. So with that being said, does it, the consent agenda, does anybody want to pull an item at this point? No? Okay. No items being pulled. At this point, then, we'll take public comment on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, please.
Yes, my name is Al Darrell, and I want to talk about you're discussing water water conservation on several of the items. And I want to remind everybody that sustainable gardening is still a very potential beneficial use of a small amount of water. This year, I was able to recycle 400 gallons off of my rain gutters from the roof and use that for my gardening. So you can do vegetable gardening without using a lot of water if you use the right amendments in your soil. If you use the sand, you're going to waste a lot of water. So I think at some point in time it would be nice if we could, I mean, we have some really great professionals out here, Los Osos Valley Nursery, Hope over there and her mom and their staff and others. And I'm reading some great books now. There's a guy down at the farmer's market who's talking about worm casting and how to utilize that to make your soils more productive so that you get a better crop with less stuff in. You let the bugs do the work, and you have, if you understand the bugs and how they work and the worms and all of that, then you can produce great vegetable table stuff, you know, all kinds of good stuff. I've got like 150 corn plants growing right now, you know. They don't take a lot of water. I've got, you know, broccoli, I've got squash, I've got lots of lettuce, all kinds of different things like that. It's easy to do if you plan it right. It takes a little work, but I think you need, as a part of your conservation effort, to encourage sustainable gardening. And I think that Los Osos Valley Nursery and some of the other experts in the area can be very helpful in explaining that to people. So I would hope that when you would include that in your water conservation. Thank you.
Other comment, Lindy?
Lindy again. I wanted to first comment on Mr. Campa suggested that as customers hook up, they will be using less water. You made
Lindy,
the statement.
Lindy, address the board, please. We'll have him comment at the end.
I think that maybe he didn't mean to say that, but I just want to clarify that you use more water when your septic tank is hooked up because your trees have no water then. So you're using drinking supply to water them. That's why the purpose, again, I'll jump to the other discussion at the Basin Management Committee meeting. It was clearly said that there could be a water delivery system in Los Osos, which, like drinking supply that you get from Crystal Springs, would bring water to your repurposed tank. And that is an option if you want to have an outdoors. That's the only option. There's not, after 54 gallons a day, you don't get to use anything outdoors. So I want to make sure that people understand that that's the main reason. Water off of your 400 gallons saved off of your gutters is great, but that's not going to get you through, you know, about 8 months out of the year. And then Mr. Gibson promised that he would get a postcard out right away to all of the contractors. There's 99 of them now, by the way. And so far he hasn't. We've been asking about it, and he's still not released this information, so people are filling in. The discussion about how we've had to have 15 general managers over these years and where things have gotten, I think we've been in such a turmoil constantly, and when we do get settled in and we're working pretty well, it seems like something from the outside comes in to knock us off our platform, but I would say the main thing that I've seen is the failure of management when our past three general managers have progressively taken over more and more control without bringing things to committees, canceling committees, making them be every 3 months. There's no continuity. There's no way for board members or the public to know what goes on when there's 3 months of darkness. So I believe that's one of the main things that you need to reinstate and could help us work as a community again. And then my last issue was, I wanted to say that one thing that was brought up at the LOCAC meeting is that, and it's been very concerning to me, that the land use meetings, when we get the permits, land use is supposed to review them, and there's a chance to kind of go through what the proposals are from on these different permits. What's been happening progressively is they're getting bumped straight to the meeting. The land use is canceled, and so it was admitted by the county that they're getting the permits to us late, and they're going to try to improve on that, and that we do have the option to wait until we hear them before we turn the LOCAC approval in. Thank you.
Julie.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I want to really speak to the general manager's report. First, let me say I'm glad we have one, because in the past we've been kind of hit or miss whether we get one, and then the quality of it is almost, you can't even understand it. But this particular report wasn't available until 5 p.m. yesterday. And then something that came out of the verbal presentation, after we had no reportable action in closed session, I now understand that the May 14th strategic plan meeting is canceled. Did that happen in closed session? Or how did that happen? How does that happen? Kudos to Chuck and the team at the South Bay Fire with the minutes from the Emergency Services Committee meeting being there. Mr. Campa was unable to participate that night. You know, one of the things that he told you as you entered into the agreement with him in March was, or February, sorry, was that he would be able to participate by Skyping or some telephonic or something, and that simply just didn't work. And he missed a very important meeting, and you went through the details. And we're talking about some serious money issues at the fire station. So that's unfortunate. And then the finance committee is canceled. The GM contract that's before you tonight should be discussed there. The reserve policy that you're adopting here in the consent calendar should have been there. That's how it works. In his report, he says that this report is to provide current utilities and fire department activity reports. There's nothing about the fire department in this report. And that's what I'm telling you, is there was something very serious at the Emergency Services Committee that he probably doesn't know much about. He goes on to tell you about things that are happening in Sacramento related to CSDA, and I would have to say, from reading most of this,